Welcome to the northern side of the radio. I'm Amy.
I'm Emily, and this is the Northern Auditions podcast.
In this week's episode, we'll be reviewing Do for a Change and Letting Go to complete our Zachary series.
But first, we are going to do our trivia segment called Who is Eugenius?
Welcome to Who is Eugenius, where I, Amy White, try to stump my dear sister, Emily, over here. I have three questions that I'm going to ask you. But then to make it, like, kind of harder, which I know probably won't be harder, we're going to add in an album. And so what you're going to have to do is I'm going to give you the album number. You're going to give me what it's called. And all the episodes in it, plus the year that it was first released, which I think you can probably do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Are you ready? First questions. We'll start with the questions first. First question. Which friend of Aubrey Shepherd proved to be a very bad influence? Now give me the name, the episode, and yeah.
So that's Erica Colburn.
Yeah.
In Under the Influence Parts 1 and 2 from Battle Lines, which is album 38, released in 2002.
Okay, you didn't need to give me that much information. That's only for the album at the end.
I know, but I'm trying to show you how easy that's going to be.
I know. Okay. What made Rodney Rathbone want to surf, parasail, and walk on hot coals?
He was trying to prove that Donna could fall, she would fall for him, that she could get her to fall for him.
Okay, I'll accept it.
What's the answer then?
It said to impress Donna Barkley.
Well,
I think it's both, yeah. Right. I'll count it.
Pretty much.
Which episode is that from?
Aloha Oi.
Parts 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, and the third question. Who is the latest known mayor of Odyssey?
Mayor Spencer Hicks.
Nice.
As of album 52.
Nice. Okay, are you ready for the album? So again.
Yes.
You need to give me the album name, all episodes that are in said album, plus the year that it was first released. Are you ready?
Yes.
This album is album 20.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the name of the album?
It's called The Journey of Choices.
Okay, and what's the episodes in there?
Afraid Not, mm-hmm. When Bad Isn't So Good.
Yeah.
Making the Grade.
Yeah.
War of the Words.
Yeah.
It Began with a Rabbit's Foot.
Yeah.
It Ended with a Handshake.
Yeah.
Pet Peeves.
Yeah.
Fences.
Yeah.
Worst Connie episode ever. The War Hero.
Yeah.
The Secret Keys of Discipline.
Yeah.
And Two Brothers and Bernard Parts 1 and 2.
Okay, and what year was it released?
1994.
Okay, for a bonus question, just because I realized you could also do this, what are the... what's the episode number span? Like, from what number to what number?
I don't know.
Do you want to take a guess?
I don't know. What, I think it was, like, 260 to 272 or something.
My goodness, you are actually very close. It was 261 to 273. You were, like, one number off. My goodness.
Well, I knew that Aloha Oi, which is in the previous album, was in the 250s.
Mm.
So.
Well, there you have it, folks. She is still Eugenius. All right, let's move on to our review. Okay, first episode review. We will be reviewing Do for a Change.
Written by Marshall Younger.
There you go. Okay, do you want to give, like, a brief synopsis on what this episode is about?
So, this episode is basically, we're basically seeing Zachary and his mom and Eugene as new Christians.
Right, yes.
Because Touch of Healing, Zachary and his mom became Christians. That's one thing I don't think we mentioned is that Jack said, before he was going to explain it to him, before the episode goes out, or before the scene goes out, he said, let's get your mom in here.
Yeah. Which,
good call. Good call.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't always do that. One example later on being Grady and his mom. That wasn't an option. So
we see Zachary and Eugene as new Christians.
And his mom, kind of.
And his mom.
And so that's basically what the episode is about. Like, Zachary is kind of discouraged because he's not getting things right. And he's not changing as fast as he would like to.
Yeah.
And Eugene is kind of the opposite. Like, this super prideful guy that drives everybody a little bit nuts.
Yeah.
So that's basically the premise of the episode.
Okay.
Do you want more detail than that?
No, I think that's good. I think everybody listening would know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And now I'm reminded about what we're talking about, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it starts with Zachary and his mom having an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Which, we don't know what the argument's about. We just know that Zachary's being a little bit disrespectful.
Mm.
And he's complaining about something not being fair.
Yeah.
The scene ends with his mom being like, we're both Christians now. Things are supposed to be different. And then we get another scene with Zachary at wit's end, watching Erica Clark play with the train.
Oh, right. And then he loses.
And being like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? I've played with this before. What's your problem, basically? And he, and she, for some reason the train stops, and Zachary blames Erica. And then Jack comes in, and he's like, Eric, are you okay? And she's like, I will be once I get away from him, and leaves.
Yeah.
And then, so they start talking, and we find out that this is the day after he had the fight with his mom. Zachary had the fight with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And Zachary's like, I had another fight with my mom last night, and I keep on getting into arguments, and I know it's my fault. And Jack's like, well, you can't expect everything to change overnight, and these things take time.
Yeah.
And Zach's like, well, isn't it the point to become a better person when you become a Christian? And Jack's like, Jack basically tells him that I'm not going to quote the whole scene, even though I quoted the whole convo.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to.
But Jack basically says that, you know, he has lots of help, like, Jack's gonna start a Bible study,
mm-hmm.
and they're gonna, but he also suggests that they might need help from somebody a little more important than him. And so they decide to pray.
Yeah.
And then we switch over to the other plot.
Which is Eugene.
Yeah. So Connie comes in. And Eugene's on a ladder in the Bible room. Mm. Trying to elevate the Tower of Babel display.
Yep.
Which made me think of Broken Armed and Dangerous.
I know. I was thinking that too.
Connie is better at holding the ladder than
Eugene is.
Yep. Actually, like, Eugene has this whole plan in case the ladder falls, and Connie's like, or you could have just asked somebody to hold the ladder for you. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
And so then she asks him if he finished reading the guide for new Christians that she gave him. And he said, oh yeah, I finished it last week. I'll return it to you post-haste. Don't worry, I'm not going to quote the whole scene. I just thought that line was funny.
Post-haste.
And basically, Eugene, it didn't help him as much as it helped Connie because he needed something more academic, I think. And so Connie, at least I think that's what he means by, like, on his level.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And because he's like, I, like, the chapter on faith was elementary, and, like, it would, like, he's basically saying that he knew more about the fundamentals of Christianity before he became a Christian. And so Connie suggests that he come to her Bible study, because it's the same one that Jack told Zachary about.
Mm-hmm.
And Eugene agrees to come, and it's on Tuesday at 7. And
That's so specific. How you know it? No, it's fine.
But Connie sounds really excited that Eugene agrees to come.
Yeah.
Which is fun. She's like, okay. And then, I forget what the next scene is. Is it the Bible study, or is it...
It might be the Bible study.
Or is it the library?
Well, it doesn't matter.
No, I think it's the library, because then the first Bible study scene is after that.
Right, because it's not where he meets Glenn.
No, that's later.
Oh, okay.
That's on the bus for the field trip.
Right, okay.
And... So Zachary goes to the library, he grabs a book off the shelf, which, good on you, because I have trouble navigating the library, because, like, some books are too high and some books are too low.
And those shelves are not wide enough.
Yeah, like, at my Bible college library, forget it. Like,
yeah.
I could not. Like, you should see that place, it's terrible. Anyway.
Not everywhere is wheelchair accessible. That's one thing.
No, and not even the public library is that great.
Yeah.
Which is why I love apps that you take out ebooks and audiobooks and all of that.
Anyway. Or even just, like, doing it online and then going to pick it up so then they can get the books for you.
That too, but ebooks and audiobooks are great because if they're available, you can have them instantly.
It's true.
Shout out to Libby. That's what our library uses.
Yeah.
And so... Good on him, but then he goes to get in line, and Erica's at the checkout desk.
Yeah, because this is, like, Witt's library, isn't it?
No, it's the school library, because a teacher comes in.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so a teacher comes in, played by Phil Lawler.
Nice, nice.
Named Mr. Lucas.
Nice.
First name as a last name for whatever reason. And he's taking out Othello to read to his class, which I hope he's a good reader. But anyway.
Sorry. Okay.
Sorry. But if you're trying to read a play, you should be able to do it dramatically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Anywho. So, And so she's checking it out for him, and she's like, she kind of like drags it out unnecessarily.
Yeah.
And
like, you can tell she's doing it for a reason.
Like, do you know the library guidelines for renewing a book? You're allowed 2 renewals, but the second renewal can be denied if someone's waiting for the book. And then he's like, I know, I've done it before, and he's like, he basically just wants to leave, and Zachary wants him to leave, too.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for both of them.
Yeah.
Because, like, Erica's like, hey, do you want to do our Guess the Paperclips contest? And he was like, I just want my book. He finally guesses because she won't shut up, and then she's like, you're way off, and Zachary's getting all frustrated, which I would get frustrated too if I was in that line and be like, but
yeah, no, that would be annoying.
And then it finally comes to a head, and Zachary's like, if you don't check my book out right now, I'm gonna call the librarian and report you.
Mm-hmm.
And
so he loses his cool again.
Yeah, so she finally gives the teacher the book and then goes to check out Zachary's book. And it's a guide for new Christians. That's what it's called. And then she's like, oh, I guess he'll be renewing this one a couple of times. A little bit passive-aggressive there, but...
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, not like it wasn't your fault, Erica. But... no, it wasn't completely her fault, but... She didn't help the situation. And then... But then... Zachary's like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have yelled at you. And he gets out of there. And then we get to the Bible study. And Zachary is basically explaining this whole scene and being like, you know, I did it again, I lost my temper, and, you know, and he's like, I don't think I can do this. And Connie says, well, you did apologize to her, which, yeah. And then Jack's like, do you think you would have done that before you became a Christian? And he says, well, no. And so, and it's like, well, yeah, that's progress. And his mom chimes in too, saying she has seen some changes, which is good. Because this whole thing opens up with an argument.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that she was affirming him too.
Yeah.
That the conflict was probably just a, like a one-off.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing they're trying to get across is that, like, again, change is not going to happen overnight. But you still can see the difference.
Yeah, but I'm just glad that his mom isn't, that his mom is moving on from stuff.
Yeah.
Like, our parents have always been pretty good at that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I appreciate that, because I don't think every parent is as mature about that as they should be. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then they switch over to Eugene.
Yeah.
And he is like, I'm fine. Like, I have no problems.
Everyone's like, ah!
Nothing of consequence to say up in studying the Bible and various commentaries and, like, Augustine, which he says it weird. He says it weird at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. And then, and so he's like, no, I'm good. No problems here. And then Jack asks him to pray for the food, because they're going to have snacks.
Yeah.
I probably could quote his prayer, but I'm not going to.
It's most likely riddled with Eugene's speech.
Yeah, if you guys have heard it, you know what I'm talking about.
Or any time Eugene has prayed since he became a Christian. Like, there's a season where he consistently prays kind of the same way. Where it's, like, a lot of
I feel like this is the worst, though.
Yeah, no, it's most likely... Like,
solitary refinement isn't really that bad at all.
No.
We should review that episode. But,
Ah, yes, the Eugene Colorful
So speech. He prays, and his conversion prayer isn't... It starts up, but then they help him pull it back.
Yeah.
But
it's just really fun to quote.
So he prays and he like personifies the part that I find funny is that he personifies like sin with the enemies of Israel.
I forgot about that. Oh my goodness.
It's so funny. It's like
Eugene.
The Jebusites of injustice the Parasites of Pride.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the Syrians of Sinfulness. And they're... And now... Oh, the first one is the Ammonites of Anxiety.
Right, right. That's only Eugene can.
That's the best part.
I wonder how much fun Will Ryan had doing that line. I wonder how much he helped write that line.
I don't think... No. The writers take care of most of the scripting, I think.
Oh, I still think there's, like, a little bit that he throws in there just to... Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's my favorite part. And then,
they're all probably like, oh, my goodness.
And then Jack's like, I think that qualifies as a blessing. And then he's like, well, why don't you start the line for the food? And then Eugene says that he's fasting.
Right.
And I just thought it was interesting that I was listening to it the other day. I was listening to it on Sunday on the way to church. And this week is... is a week of prayer and fasting at my church.
That's interesting.
And I can't fast for medical reasons.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I thought it was just the timing was interesting.
Actually, now that you say that, I was doing Sunday school this week, and we were talking about, it was in Nehemiah where they were fasting. And I had to explain to these, like, grade ones and twos, like, what fasting is. And I was like, yeah, you don't actually have to do, you don't have to, like, fast food. You can fast, like, TV or video games. And, like, half of my boys all piped up. They're like, I play video games, but I haven't played video games since, like, the weekend. And I was like, what?
Oh, my goodness.
But, like. That's funny, actually.
I think that's kind of funny. Like, in Jewish tradition, For Yom Kippur is a fast day for religious Jews.
Yom Kippur?
It's the Day of Atonement.
I know, but you didn't say it the way...
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I stumbled on it.
I always laugh because doesn't Bernard or
Rosh Hashanah, he says...
No, but he does a line, maybe it's in like the bloopers, where he's like Yom Kippur or something like that.
It's Rosh Hashanah, but anyway.
No, I know it's Rosh Hashanah because he says rash on my feet is what the original line is. No, but then he said something about Yom Kippur.
No, anyway. Anywho.
I think it's in the bloopers.
What I was going to say is, it's a fasting day, but kids who basically haven't been bar mitzvahed yet don't have to fast.
Yeah.
It's not required until... like 13 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've tried it before I received a diagnosis that made it not good because I have to take meds with meals. Like I would basically have a Zoe situation from Set a Watchman if I tried that.
Yeah, me too.
So anyway, I've tried it before. It didn't go very well, and I'm wondering if, like, my body was reacting the same way. What now? It's just that I didn't know about the diagnosis at that point.
Maybe.
But, and Connie's like, oh, yeah, I did it a while ago. Because Eugene's like, I'd highly recommend this exercise. And he's like, have you ever done it, Miss Kendall? And Connie goes, yeah, once a while ago.
Yeah.
And he goes into, like, how he's trying to, like, not take things for granted and understand the plight of the underprivileged. Mm-hmm. And he goes, not everybody in the world today has three meals a day as do you and I. And he says it like that. And he goes, alas, most of the world eats just a few times a week. And then Connie goes, okay, so who wants cheesecake?
Like, how do you continue from that conversation?
So, and then we get to the bus, and...
They're on a field trip.
Yeah, they're going to the science museum.
That's fun.
And, okay, this is where we get to another logistics thing that has bugged...
Ah, yes.
...me for a long time. You know what I'm going to say, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because I definitely thought it too. You go, though.
So, the wheelchair thing, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, Zachary's on the bus ahead of everybody else.
Yep.
And apparently he's sitting in a seat.
Yes.
Because he meets Glenn. And then Glenn goes, aren't you usually in a wheelchair? And Zachary goes, it's folded up behind the driver.
Yep.
And of course, you and I, who are aware of these things, are thinking, first of all, I'm thinking, even if he was in a manual chair, he'd be in said chair, in the back of the bus,
okay,
tied
actually,
down.
Actually, so I had a friend in high school who also was in a wheelchair.
Yes, you did.
Okay, but I'm actually wondering, because her manual chair folded up quite small, and she was, well, I mean, granted, she was able to get out of her wheelchair. But in my mind, that's kind of how I would, you know, reconfigure that in my mind, is but, he has a manual chair, which you all should have.
Yeah.
And, but it's small enough that he can fold it up. So I'm wondering if he, like, got himself out of his wheelchair, folded it up, and then the driver put it behind.
Maybe. But then there's also the thing of, like, in scenes after this and before this, you hear the electric wheelchair sounds.
Okay, but if you're going on a field trip,
no, but like,
would it not just be easier to have your manual chair?
But I'm pretty sure you hear the power chair in the museum scene.
I don't know.
I don't know. But it always...
If anyone knows...
It always kind of...
Please let us know.
Just bugged me a tiny bit, but... Basically, this scene is, like, Glenn driving Zachary nuts.
Yeah.
Which.
We've all had that one friend.
I don't think I've had a friend like that.
Don't they say that, like, if you can't think of the friend like that, maybe you are the friend? I'm just joking, you're not. But that's what I thought at first. No, I definitely have had friends like that where I'm just like, okay,
Any current ones? You don't have to name them, but I'm curious.
Not that I can think of.
Okay, well, that's good then.
Were you hoping it wasn't you?
No. Anyway.
Okay.
So then they get to the museum. And I don't think the volcano display is the first one they go. Oh, no, it's the solar system display. That's the first one. And Glenn is like, yeah, this model is off because the Earth would be moving close to the sun, ready to explode. And I'm just like,
boy, yeah.
Dude.
Uh-huh.
And Zachary's just like, what? And then Glenn's like, there's no reason to be afraid of the Earth blowing up. Nuclear holocaust should get us a long time before that.
Oh my goodness. There are certain lines that I just forget that has been said.
It's in there.
No, I believe it.
And so it's... And Zachary's just like, I don't care, but more lower than that, and more menacing. He's like, I...
lower than that, though.
More menacing. He's like,
yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
And then we get to the volcano scene. And
yes, the volcano scene.
And Glenn's just like, Odyssey sure do for one of these.
Well,
and
isn't that what they've been saying about our town?
Earthquakes.
That's what it was. It was something like that.
We live on a fault line. So they've been saying that our entire lives.
Yeah, we've had mini ones, but not big ones. No volcanoes, though.
No.
You can tell the moment where my brain just stops working. And it's like, nope. Not working today. Anyways. Oh, so, do you think there's actually a volcano near Odyssey? Like, I can't even think. I don't think there is.
What if Force Madden is a volcano?
That's the next one. That's the next big thing. There's a volcano. Well, they've had floods. They've had,
Tornadoes.
They've had, well, fires, but that only was to a barn.
And Blackard's Castle.
And Blackard's Castle. They've had explosions.
They've had bomb threats.
They've had bomb threats. They found the bombs.
Oh my goodness. Anyway.
And they say it's a safe old town.
So,
anyway.
So, Zachary, and Gunn is like, do you have volcano insurance?
I'm sorry, what? Is there actually such a thing?
That's what he said.
What? Oh my goodness.
Zachary's like, obviously doesn't have any volcanoes, Gwen.
Okay, so there you go. That answers my question. Unless Forest Mountain is like a very, very silent one.
A dormant volcano. That's... I mean...
I definitely passed science, guys. I promise you. Anyway.
And then Zachary, like, you basically just yells, get out of my face, you're driving me nuts.
And that's what we all want to say to those friends. And
Glenn doesn't really get the hint, because the tour guide is like, is there a problem? And Glenn's like, I'm just saying, it doesn't hurt to be prepared. And then Zachary shoves him into the volcano display.
Oh my goodness.
Which is... I think only so that we can have the line about it later.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then he gets in trouble, his mom picks him up later, and is like, and they basically just have a quick conversation, and Zachary comes to the conclusion that he can't be a Christian. Which, ouch. and then he goes, then we return to the Eugene plot briefly because he's talking to Erica.
Mm-hmm.
And Erica, he's trying to explain something to her. We don't know what right away. And then she leaves and Jack's like, you were helping Erica? And he goes, oh yeah, she was studying a Bible lesson on wisdom and she was confused about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And I decided to set her straight because she was doing this trite little exercise where she browsed through the Proverbs and the Jackos and wrote down the definitions given there. It's like, exactly, how did you know? I gave her that exercise because I thought it would be better than telling her directly.
Ah, yes.
And so then Zachary comes in and tries to return the Bible that Jack gave him because he gives up on being a Christian.
Aww.
And I'm like, aww. And Jack's like, what? And Zachary's like, well, I can't do it. I lost my temper and threw a kid into a volcano.
Can you imagine being told that? You're like, okay.
And moving on. Eugene's like, pardon me. Jack's like, you did what?
Let's just not focus on that.
And so he tries to give him the Bible, and Jack's like, you're just gonna give up? And then I'll skip ahead the metaphors and whatever, but Jack says, let me ask you a question. If every Christian in the world just gave up after they did something wrong, how many Christians would be left? And Zachary goes, not very many, I guess.
None.
Close. The answer is none. So he explains, explains that everybody goes through this, which, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah.
over and over and over again.
Saying that for yourself, or are you saying that because of...
Just in general, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he basically just explains that, like, God gives us grace, Zachary won't be able to lose his temper without consequences, but God will help him with self-control, which, really good distinguisher there, I think. And so Zachary decides not to give it up. And then he leaves. And Jack turns around and basically continues the conversation with Eugene. Because Eugene doesn't understand what Zachary's going through.
Yeah.
Because he's basically like, my salvation experience was so seamless, and I'm so thankful that my Christianity began on the high plane that it did. And Jack's like, yeah, we've been impressed by you, but impress us a little less.
Yeah, exactly.
Is basically what he says. And he basically tells Eugene to take all the scripture that he knows and put it into a humble heart. Which, yeah. So, and then the final scene is Zachary giving a bunch of things that he did to their Bible study again. And he's talking about a bunch of things he's done to help him learn patience. Which include, getting in long lines at school instead of the shortest ones. And he asked Glenn to be his partner for a hobby fair.
Nice.
And then he ate an entire plate of peas with a knife.
Wow.
Which, I'm sorry, but I would never have the patience for that.
Well, maybe you need to do it then.
No.
You sure?
I don't even like peas that.
I'll do corn. At least it's slightly nicer to eat.
Anywho, and then Eugene says that he was going to present an exegetical study of the Book of Nehemiah.
That's nice. That sounds like a lot of work.
But then Jack says, but then he says that he knows now that that would have been showing off based on the conversation that he had with Jack.
Yeah.
And then he says, I'm going to present my heart. My personal testimony as it relates to the hermeneutical study of...
Oh my goodness.
As it relates to the hermeneutical study of the resurrection narratives.
And you're like, they're all like... Oh, a testimony. Wait, what? Nope, that's... Okay, and we lost him again. That's literally what they're all thinking.
And it basically ends with him quoting Augustine.
Of course.
And Connie whispers to Zachary, it looks like you're going to get your real test.
On patience.
And Zachary's like, I take it all back. I don't think I'm ready for this.
Aww. I like that episode.
And I'm like, me too. I don't think I could...
No.
I don't know.
No. You know what normally happens? Is usually I'm with one of our sisters, and them and I will usually talk. And not mock, but like, you know, say the little things that we're thinking about to get us through to the other side of said presentation.
Like with what?
Well, there's moments where our younger sister will lean over to me, especially if the preacher or whoever's speaking.
In church.
And she'll lean over to me and she's like, especially if whoever's speaking is bald. She's like, the gleam off their head looks like a disco ball. And I'm like, shush. That's how we get through things.
I cannot. wish I still went to church with you guys, but whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, there's the little comments here or there that get us through things. Okay, overall, what did you think of the episode?
I mean, I think I've given most of my thoughts.
That's true.
But, good episode.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I liked how they showed kind of two different ways that being a new Christian can be, where you get the, like, always messing up, kind of just done with doing it, or the, I know everything, you know, like, you kind of get those two different...
I think both of these can carry forward no matter how long you've been a Christian.
Definitely. No, I definitely agree with that.
It's not a new, but
I'm just saying, like, it's a good episode for newer Christians because then it's, like, you kind of get to see both sides of it. Like, those who have grown up in a Christian home versus those who may not have, and vice versa. Like, it can go either way. But it's, like, I don't know. I think it's a good, and I liked how Jack... like, what he was saying, and
there's some really good humor in there, you guys have heard.
Yeah.
I didn't think the volcano thing was gonna get you laughing so hard.
Well, I mean, thinking about Odyssey's history, you're kind of like, I don't know, is there a volcano? Because, like, at this point, we've seen everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so, any other thoughts on this episode review, or?
No, it was basically a recap.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, guys, but that's the best way to go through these things so you don't miss anything.
It's true. All right, we shall move on to our next review for Letting Go. All right, next episode review of Letting Go.
Written also by Marshall Younger.
Look at that.
And this episode has the, almost all of the actors for the future Mulligan family.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
Interesting.
So, it's basically an episode of, it's an episode where Zachary's mom starts dating again.
Yes.
Which, this is not something that either of us have dealt with because our parents have been married for over 30 years.
Yep.
And hell would have to freeze over before they would split.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yep.
So, we're definitely not going by experiences here on most of this, but, it's part of the saga, so we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, I'm not going to do a full scene-by-scene recap, but basically, Zachary meets this guy that his mom is dating very suddenly.
Yep.
And then...
It's voiced by the same guy who plays Mike Mulligan.
Yes. Yep. I just said all of that.
I know, I'm just restating. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, so he... So they meet, and then they have dinner together later.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a 10-year-old daughter, so she comes in there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for Zachary, because Blake, the guy, is, like, trying to get a read on his hobbies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Zachary's just like,
nope.
I don't want you around.
Yeah.
I miss my dad, and I don't want you around.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I like that this is, that she's dating again because of a death instead of a divorce.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they are more on, that she and Zachary are more on equal footing in that.
Mm-hmm. Because they're both having to deal with the death, and now they're both...
It's not like she chose it and he didn't,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what basically television is like.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, So that goes about as well as can be expected.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Zachary and his mom are talking about it, and Zachary's like, he was trying to get me to like him. She's like, of course he wants you to like him. And he's like, it's not like you're gonna get married, right? She's like, no, I've only known him for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, why don't we just try one more time, you know, go somewhere all together, see if we can just give him another chance. So they go to the mall.
Mm, yes.
The Connellsville Mall. Because they make a point of how it's so much bigger than the Odyssey Mall.
Mm, yeah.
Which, I live closer to a smaller mall than the one in the next town over, but I like the smaller mall. Especially since they've made it more open.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, why?
And actually, like, I've heard that there's some better stores, but I'm like, that's crazy considering it's that mall.
But they're also constructing some new outdoor stuff coming up.
Which is really cool.
That'll be neat. And, yeah. And there'll be more restaurants and, like, so, anywho, I used to hate it, but now I like it.
So they're at the Connellsville Mall.
And they're all hungry. So the women go into a store because they're women. Ha ha.
Yep.
And then, Zachary and Blake are just hanging around, and he sees a speed throw, like a baseball game, which
you throw the baseball, yeah, and it tests your speed.
Yeah, but I've never seen that in a mall, like not even in.
Well, I mean, I feel like because this was done in what year?
96, I want to say.
Yeah, we were like, well, I was born in 96. And you were, like...
Three.
So, it's not something we would really remember. Granted, this also could be more of an American thing than a Canadian thing.
Could be. It could just be... Also just be a thing of, like, our mugs are not that extravagant.
Probably.
But... And so, Blake tries to prove to Zachary that he has, like, a crazy mile-an-hour fastball...
Yeah.
It's like 85.
We don't understand sports.
It's like 85 or 95 miles an hour, something like that. And he's like, I got drafted by the Yankees in college, which I'm like, okay, whatever.
That's nice.
And he's like, I didn't actually play for them, but I mowed them down in college, whatever that means.
Again, we are not sports fans. No, we are Odyssey fans.
I only understand baseball because of Wii Sports.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I'm not joking.
Yeah.
And so, he tries to throw it. It's completely off. And his bet was that he was going to get Zachary a pretzel if he couldn't do it, and he couldn't do it. So they're going to get the pretzel. And then Blake suggests that they go to a baseball game together.
That's fun.
And Zachary just shuts down.
Yeah.
Because...
That reminds him of his dad.
Yeah. And so he goes to see what his mom's doing. And then we skip ahead to Blake and Zachary's mom. They're about to go to a play, and he comes a little early, and they're talking, and he's like, what's up with you, basically, like, you don't like
Blake me. And Zachary are talking.
Yeah, and he's okay. Like, you don't like me, do you? And he's like, it seems like you're trying to get inch your way into the family, is what he says.
Mm.
And he's like, why is that, like, he's like, you're saying, pretending to like trains and inviting me to baseball games, and Blake's like, what's wrong with that? And Zachary basically says, because you're not my father. And Blake's not, he assures him that he's not trying to do that. He's not trying to take his place.
Yeah.
And if he realizes, oh, your dad took you to baseball games, didn't he? He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, I should have figured. And I guess I was a little naive. But there's more people involved here than just you. Hmm. Oh, and somewhere in the middle of all this, Jill is like, do you think they're gonna get married?
Oh, right, because I think she came over because their parents were going out.
No, they're at Blake's house this time. It's another scene.
Oh, right.
And she's like, do you think they're gonna get married? And she thinks they're gonna get married. And she's like, we probably have to move. And I'm like, I think I found a house that had a few blocks from here that's probably big enough. And it had a room on the bottom floor so you don't have to go upstairs. Which, ignorant child, if you're a kid living with your parents, and you're in a chair, you might have access to as much of the house as possible.
Yeah.
Which is why our parents didn't buy a multi-story house until I moved up.
Yep.
I'm okay with that. But anyway, so she's just like, I want this because my dad smiles a lot now and he didn't smile after my mom died. Because her mom's dead as well as Zachary's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's fair, but I can also kind of understand Zachary's annoyance with this.
Yeah.
And so then Zachary's mom comes back from the date after Blake and Zachary have had this conversation later on. And and Zachary's watching his dad's birthday party on a home video.
Yeah.
Which, this show relies a good bit on home videos, and we've never really had any of those.
No. We have a lot of pictures, we just don't really have video.
No, because that takes more cooperation.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then they're talking, and she's like, when they were gonna go to a play, and she's like, we didn't go because Blake was upset by the conversation he had with you. So we just went to a restaurant and talked instead, and he feels like he pushed too hard. And she's like, well, we go out again tomorrow. I think I'm gonna suggest that we slow things down. And Zachary's like, but tomorrow is Dad's birthday. How can you ignore that? And she basically was like, I'm ready to stop. I need to get past this, you know?
Yeah, they kind of have that moment of,
And so that scene ends. And then we find out that the next day she basically skips work because it is still too hard for her.
Yeah.
And so Blake comes and she looking for her because they're not co-workers, but they work in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to call her at work.
And found out that she was not there.
And so he came looking for her, which is really sweet.
Yeah.
And she explains that it's her former husband's birthday. And he gets it because his wife's birthday hits him the same way. And he offers to take her and Zachary to the cemetery.
Which I think is so sweet. I was like, I love that.
Which is, like, 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Which, great. And so they go. And she and Zachary are at the grave and they're sharing their thoughts on his dad. And
yeah, I just think that's such a really, really sweet scene.
And yeah, I like it because they, Zachary realizes that Blake makes his mom happy.
Yeah.
After she explains that his dad always wanted her to be happy.
Yeah.
Well,
and I also like that scene because I like how respectful Blake is, and he's like, I'll stay here, you guys go. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's just like, aww.
and she's like, and they decide to give him another chance. because she explains that Blake is not a sign that she's ignoring the past. It's just a sign that she's decided not to keep living in it.
Yeah.
Which, really good.
Yeah.
And then the episode ends with them headed to a baseball game. Like, all four of them headed to a baseball game. Which I think is a good compromise.
Yeah.
But
like, and I like how the girls are like, I'm just gonna bring my homework and I'm gonna bring a book. And they're like, wait, what?
But I think it's a good compromise. Because if Zachary wasn't entirely comfortable with doing it with just Blake yet, I think it was a good compromise to have all four of them go.
And then they're also bonding over that. Yeah. So it's like, okay.
So, but yeah, it's a good dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and Zachary's like, I hope the car starts. It's like, okay, whatever. And then the final line of the episode is Blake saying, after that short delay, we are finally moving on.
Yeah, and it kind of just sums up the whole episode.
Which, I'm kind of annoyed that this is Zachary's last episode, but you can tell that his voice is starting to change.
Yeah.
And, of course, later we get him as Nick.
Which I still think is crazy.
I can't believe you didn't know that until I brought it up last time.
I had no idea. But now it makes a lot of sense why they also stopped using him, because he was coming in for another character. But that's probably not the reason why.
No, I don't think they brought him in as Nick until after the first hiatus, which didn't happen until between albums 28 and 29. So I don't think they were planning on doing that until then. Which, the Mulligan family was created and mostly written for by Bill Myers, who plays Mike Mulligan. Yeah. And Blake. So, which is fun, because Bill Myers is a pretty good author. Mm-hmm. I read a few of his teen books.
Yeah, I read one of his series, and it's one of my favorites.
I read the, I think it was called The Bloodstone Chronicles.
Mm.
I think it was his.
I read the Forbidden Door series. That one's really good.
That's definitely his.
No, I know. Because I was like, wait, is this the same guy? Sure enough, it
is. Yes, it is.
And that's why I love all of the Mulligan episodes. I'm just saying. Those are some of my favorite episodes.
How did you read those? Where did you get them?
I think Mom bought me, because, so, when I was growing up for Christmas, we would always say books on our Christmas list, and usually it was just, like, I never had, like, specific books that I wanted. It was just whatever my mom could find that she thought I would like.
And this was back before our local Christian bookstore closed.
No, this was after.
Oh, after?
Yeah. Like, I got them when I was probably 15, 16.
It didn't close until 2015.
No, but I still, like, I never went there as often as I thought.
I wish it was still open, because I live right there now.
So basically, I would just tell my mom to, like, find books that she thought I would like, because I didn't really have series that I was interested in, or I wasn't collecting books. Because usually most of the series would come off of my, like, these guys, older sisters.
Like my Red Rock Mysteries books.
Which I still have all of them, and I've added on because you're missing two, but that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they went.
And actually, I think, no, my friend helped me add on, and then I think I'm still missing one book, but then I borrow it from her to read it, and then
how many times have you read through that?
I haven't read in a long time. But I used to, like, I think I read through it, like, at least 5 times.
Now I'm an adult Jerry Jenkins fan.
And part of me wants to go back and reread them. Anyway.
And we're both Dallas Jenkins fans, too. Shout out to The Chosen.
Ah, yes. Anyway.
Anywho.
So then Mom bought me 3 of the books, and then I didn't realize that there was a 4th one until I started reading it. But the 4th one, the 4th book that I didn't have was, like, book 2. Well, it was more like book 4 through 6, because they're, like, each of them have, like, 3 books in it. Okay. But anyway, it says a really, really good series, and I love it. Or no, maybe it was, like, 7, 8, 9 that I was missing or something like
There's
that.
There's an adult book that he wrote called Eli that I want to grab. I think it's, like, a modern telling of Jesus coming or something. I heard about it on a podcast.
Interesting. Maybe I have to read it.
On another Odyssey
Christmas podcast. Christmas list.
Well, I looked it up on Kindle and it's super cheap.
Okay. Anyway. So, yeah. That's how I found those books. I fell in love with them. I thought they were really well written.
How quickly did you realize it was the same guy?
I think I just kept looking at the author's name, and I was like, why do I recognize that author's name? And then I looked it up, and sure enough, it was the same guy. Yeah. And I was like, oh. But I feel like I had read through his books a bit before I actually put two and two together.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't. I don't remember. Anyway. So if you ever want, like, a really good series, the Forbidden Door series is really good. Bye, Bill Myers.
Is it, like, teen, or is it adult?
Well, I think the teens are the main characters.
I think it's teen.
It's more on the teen side, but it's like, you can read it as an adult. Because it deals with a lot of spiritual...
Maybe I'll borrow them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, like, that's the thing, though. It deals with a lot of spiritual stuff. So it also is good for adults as well.
Because, yeah, I've heard of them. Because this podcast was another Odyssey podcast where they were talking about the Mulligans and then Bill Myers came up. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts on this review?
Or no.
On this episode?
No.
I thought it was really well done. I liked it.
Yeah. It's
kind of hard for me to not like an episode of Odyssey. I will say that. Emily's like, I already have a list of episodes I do not like. I'm just joking.
And they're all from, like,
oh, okay, the last... never mind.
No, no, I don't. But I can probably think of more than you can.
Oh, probably. Maybe we'll run into it at one of these.
We won't run into some of them because I refuse to review them.
Okay.
I've already.
Maybe we need to have a conversation about this.
I've already told you that.
I don't remember that conversation, but you can tell me after we're done.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the review of Letting Go.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for next week's episode where we'll be reviewing the Leonard Meltzner saga, starting with Last in a Long Line and Food for Thought.
If you have any trivia questions you would like to send to us, you can email them to Northern Odysseans.
ODYSSIANS@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us on the northern side of the radio. I'm Amy.
I'm Emily.
Keep listening.